Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think I've officially reached the emotional stage of pregnancy.
Yeah, you're not a very emotional person.
No, and it's so out of, like, character for me. So I think, do you know the way that we were talking about, like, possibly getting a guest on when you go to Cuba?
Yeah.
In your place, just...
Yeah.
I think I might get another pregnant woman on and we'll just cry for the whole thing.
It'll be, like, the unpopular opinion pregnancy episode.
Yes.
Pregnant women.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And we'll just cry for the whole thing. Sound good?
I think, do you know what? Do it.
Fucking go for it.
Fucking do it.
Just do your best, lad. Hello and you're very welcome back to the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. My name is Jen.
And I'm Carla.
And in this episode, I'd say we'll get probably real deep.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit emosh.
Yeah, so am I. And I'm a bit, I don't know. I mean, I suppose the aim of this podcast would be to, if anybody who has lost somebody very recently and has gone through the toughest time, because I think everybody's nearly lost somebody that's close to them and they know that feeling.
Yeah.
It might make them feel a little bit better.
I think it's more about acceptance. And I think, like, talking to people who have, you know, we'll get into our own personal stories and stuff like that. But talking to people that have, like, experienced grief in different ways always gives you a different outlet, I feel.
Yeah, and I think if you hear of somebody else's coping mechanisms and you can try yourself. Like, oh, yeah, I'll try that and then see... Can you end up feeling better? Like, obviously, and it's such a cliche, but time is the biggest healer.
I mean, yeah.
Because, obviously, if something just happens to you and it's very raw and you're in absolute bits.
Yeah.
A year down the line, when you look back on that, you do realise how far you've come.
Yeah.
Off the back of something like that.
I think also, like, grief has so many different processes. But I'll start it off by saying this is probably one of the, like... obviously, me and Tom get into real deep talk sometimes, but I remember he said he read an analogy before and I just thought it was, he thought it was such a perfect analogy, and then he said it to me and I was like, that's such a perfect analogy. But they said grief is like having a ball, a very big ball in a glass box, and it's bouncing around, and every time it hits the corner is when it triggers your grief. But as time goes on, the ball gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
Oh, yeah.
So it hits the button every so often and you're bowled over and you don't know what it is, but it becomes less and less over time.
Yeah, yeah, that's so actually, like, a really good one.
Yeah, so he was like, if you think about it, because your grief never gets smaller, it just gets more distant almost, where it's not your everyday new normal.
Yeah.
So it's like when it hits the button, you're like, oh my God, and you have those days where you can't move or you can't feel anything, or you're just in such a deep, but then the ball bounces away.
Yeah.
But it will always come back to the grief.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought that was such a good, like...
It is, yeah, it's a great analogy. It's good to kind of, like, put something like that into perspective.
Yeah.
But as well, I think it's so important to be able to recognise that that's why you're feeling like that. It's such a big step, because, like, even if you wake up and it's a year down the line after losing somebody so close to you and you're having a shit day and you're like, oh, what is going on? You can't really cope, you keep bursting out crying, everything, like, you... fucking just want to smash something off a wall. If you just stop, I know it's hard at the time when it's actually happening, but if you just stop and recognize why you're feeling like this, because I mean a year down the line you mightn't realize that's what's affecting you, you know what I mean? It might be hard to recognize far enough down the line, do you know what I mean? So if you actually stop and just go, okay, this is why I'm feeling like this, then you can start dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think I'm not one And it's just personally me, like, my mates are always like, you're fucking wild the way that you deal with, like, grief and things that happen and, like, death and all those other kind of, they're like, you're just so to the, you're like, matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people have different ways of coping. And I've just been very like, okay, that's happened. What are we doing? What's next?
Yeah.
And that's why I don't hold, I'm very particular about, like, I don't hold any weight and dates.
Right.
Like, you know, this is the day that bloody blah passed away.
Right.
Or this is the date that my nanny, I just don't hold, I don't have, me and Tom don't have an anniversary date. We don't know. We're like sometime in September.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have an anniversary date. I don't hold dates as a thing. I don't like, and it's obviously, it's my thing as well, but like, it almost frustrates me when I see people being like, it's coming up to the date now. And I'm like, okay, but it's a day.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you don't have to, if you hold so much on that day is always going to be the big looming day for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're like, oh my God, it's coming up to when my, you know, partner passed away or my granny passed away or anything like that. I'm like, but you hold that in that date.
Mm.
Whether it's, spread your grief out. Do you know what
right,
I mean?
Okay.
But that's just how I cope with things. I just get real, like, because my dad really holds dates because his sister passed away. His mum and his dad both passed away. So he holds a lot of weight in dates.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that just frustrated me.
I'm kind of, there would be some dates that would resonate with me more than others.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying, like, because if you are, if you do think about and treat the date like that, you're going to be affected for, like, at least 2 weeks coming up to it. On the day, you're going to be miserable.
Absolutely.
And then you're going to spend another 2 weeks getting
exactly.
over it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, I just think, whatever, be sad, obviously, be sad. I'm not trying to be inconsiderate. I'm just saying that I feel like you're giving so much power to that date and to that time of year. And to be like, you know, Christmas, you know, the way everybody's like, oh, it's so rough, Christmas with a loss. And it is. It is a really rough time because it's programmed into us that Christmas is for families.
Yeah.
But I personally, in the past 4 or 5 years, fucking despise Christmas. I actually don't like it anymore. I really don't like it. I don't enjoy it whatsoever. And my mum always said that to me when I was younger. She was like, you'll hate Christmas until you've kids. And I was like, really? She was like, yeah, you'll get over it. There'll be a massive batch of time where you'll hate Christmas and then you'll have kids.
Right.
And she was like, and then you'll like it again and then you'll hate it again. I was like, really? She was like, yeah. And I think that's how I've actually reached that point.
You're
in my
that
life.
Batch.
Yeah. So, but then I'm very hardline when it comes to things sometimes. And I think I do need a bit more empathy.
Yeah. Well, no, I can see, but like what you're saying there, it does sound harsh and it does sound like an unpopular opinion, but it makes an awful lot of sense as well. It does, like, it's logically.
How can you process your grief if you're like,
hold
November
on,
15th, November 15th.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the day. Rather than being like, well, you know,
if you change your mindset and dealt with it in a different way, it mightn't be as unbearable. Like,
I just think, like, when you give things attention, you give them power. And that's about everything in life. Do you know what I mean? If you give, like, negative comments or, you know, if you give, like, even sometimes with, like, when your anxiety flares, I'm like, okay, I'm giving this too much attention. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm giving this too much attention. I'm being like, oh, I feel really anxious. I'm telling everybody I feel really anxious. I'm like, okay, relax.
Yeah.
Just breathe, go through.
Oh God, mindset is such a powerful thing. Like, if you can control that, you're winning.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
And that's where a lot of people lose with that. And I totally respect that. But I just think the date thing for me is just something that I never got on board with.
I never thought of it that way. Like, there are certain, like I said, there's certain dates that resonate with me more. Like, I could not tell you the dates that my grandparents died on. Or actually, now that I think of it, there's not. No, I remember one day of one grandparent. And then it's not until somebody says it to me that I'm like, oh, yeah. But I don't. Well, it depends on the death as well, doesn't it? Like, I've lost 2 family members to suicide.
Yeah.
And I've lost other family members to natural causes.
Yeah.
And, like, illnesses when they're younger. I've actually lost an awful lot of people in my family.
Jeez, you really have.
But yeah, no, I have. Like, because even my best friend, Amy, she was like, when we were growing up, I would nearly have, like, a death in my family nearly every 5 years. And she was like, oh, Jesus, I haven't lost anyone in my family.
Yeah.
Like, how, this is mad that you're, do you know what I mean? That there's always, like, an uncle or a grandparent or, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I forget what I was going to say there. I'm actually losing my train of thought. Oh, yeah. No, it depends on the circumstance of the death as well. Like, I think if you lose a grandparent to old age and natural causes, it's not as heartbreaking. This might be an unpopular opinion, but it's not as heartbreaking as losing somebody to a tragic death.
Is that because we have been programmed that way? Because death is still death, dress it up, dress it down. But I feel like the older you get, like, talking to... I remember my dad's always been very relaxed about death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's... But now, in all fairness, Ray goes to, I'd say, a funeral or a removal twice a week, every week. Like, okay. I'm like, how do you know so many fucking people passing away?
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
There are people like that, aren't they? They're always just...
I think it's because he knows so many fucking people. Yeah. And also because my grandparents... They're all like the mates are all dying now.
Yeah.
Do you get me? Because like my granny, my granddad went really young. He was 66. And then my, do you remember I said this in the podcast where I was like, Ray, are you really nervous about turning 60? Because that's when granddad died in the 60s. And he was like, are you fucking kidding me, Carla? I was like, no. It's like, no, I never thought of it that way. But okay, shit. Thanks.
Yeah,
and I was
like, yeah.
And then my granny was 72, I think 72.
That's it, that is young.
That's young.
In terms of like today's and age and like...
Siobhan, my aunt, was 44, I think.
Yeah.
But Siobhan was sick for a long time.
Yeah.
And there was like 4 times, I think, that we were called to give her last rites.
Wow.
And she kept fucking coming back. Jesus Christ, she was some woman. We were like, woo, she's back. She's back again.
She's back with a bang.
Yeah. And we couldn't trust it. Like, I remember when when she was on her final deathbed, like in the hospital in Connolly. And... we went to the cinema, me and my friend Shauna and my cousin, who was over from the States, because they flew my cousin and my uncle over, and they were like, right, and now this is the 3rd time that I think they've been flown over.
Oh, really?
In 5 years. So they were kind of like, okay, is this the crack? So we went to cinema, and then my aunt texted me being like, it's time, and I was like, oh. So then we left Inception, never saw the end. Never saw the end of Inception, yeah.
Mm.
And then when we got there, she'd gone.
Wow.
But to be honest, that one I almost processed before it was happening.
Yeah, but that's what I mean by when you're not that, like, old age and like natural causes is nearly like it is a given, but I think it's that type of death you're nearly expecting. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, up until like we lost my granddad last June, he was the last grandparent.
What
he
age?
He was 83.
Okay.
But
can you process it if they're in their 80s? I think 80 is young now.
No, I think 80's old.
It depends on what kind of 80 you are.
Yeah, what kind of 80. Yeah, I know people who are like 80 and you'd be like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and you're like, what?
Depends. Yeah. But like nearly every Christmas, we kind of nearly all said for the last kind of 3 or 4 years, oh, this might be granddad's last.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Even though he wasn't sick, but he was, you could see him getting frailer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he got diagnosed with cancer in the March. He was gone by the June. Because he was just the type of person who was like, no, not going to go get checked out, not going to go to the hospital, because if I go in there, I'll never come out. Do you know what I mean? So he, and then I think that nearly made it, even though we were expecting him to go after he got the diagnosis, it was like, you could tell by him even doing that, that he was afraid of dying.
Yeah.
Which broke my fucking heart.
Yeah, that's very, that's scary. That's
Whereas
tough.
If somebody is like, do you know what? I'll be fine. I've had a great life. And he did say all those things. He said, like, I've had a great life. I have no regrets. I absolutely adore my family. All this. But you could still tell that the fact that he didn't want to go into the hospital because he thought he was never coming out, that he was petrified of it.
Yeah.
Which broke me, hurt me, like, my little
That is a lot, isn't it? Like,
do you know what I mean? Yeah. And then, he ended up going home then into palliative care, and he was in his bed... His own bed then. Yeah, he was at home. He was in his own bedroom, I'd say.
Was he sick?
Oh, yeah, he was. Like, when he came out of hospital, now he was off his face on morphine. Like, nobody could believe how talkative he was, but he was just off his face on morphine. But he was on the fucking ball. Like, his head was there for the whole, like, right up until the end. He had so much cop on. He was talking about repeal. He was talking about Trump. Do you know what I mean? He'd be able to hold a great conversation with you. But, like... He did go downhill very quickly. But kind of towards the end, he was just like, oh, yeah, no, I'll be... Oh, sorry, he was 82. He would have been 83 in the October. And he was like, oh, no, I'll make it to 83 now. I'll make it to 83. And we're kind of looking at him going...
Will you?
I don't think you will. Do you know what I mean? And that was the heartbreaking part, because you could still tell by him saying those things that he wasn't ready. Now, he wrote out a list of everything that he wanted. He wanted everybody to be wearing colourful clothes. He wanted, told us where he wants his ashes to be scattered. Do you know what I mean? And he was like, he wanted us to scatter them in Black Rock Park. We still haven't done it. I think we're doing it around Christmas time when Meander comes back from Portugal. But he's like, now, don't scatter me anywhere else. He was like, I don't care if you have to break the law to scatter me in this certain rose bush in Black Rock Park. But he was like, I actually don't care. Like, get in trouble to do it. I just, that's where I want to be scattered. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was being real mischievous about it and everything. Like, it was, like, in one sense, he was like, this is what I want. I know that this is happening. And the other sense, he was like, no, I'll make it to my birthday. Oh, nah, I don't think I'll go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, like, it's such a weird one because it's like, I feel like we've been programmed into kind of, if they're older and if they're in their 80s, but then there's some young fucking 80-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's some seriously young 80-year-olds and you're like, well, that's not really valid. Like, if they went, that would be a shock, I feel.
Yeah,
you
know?
like, I have my granny and granddad on my mum's side, they're still, I think they're 83 and 85.
Wow.
But my granny has had cancer twice.
Yeah.
I think twice now. And she's very frail. Yeah. But her mind's as quick. But it's like her body, like, she's very kind of like, she's very slim. She's always been slim though, do you know? You're kind of like, oh God. And you're like, but she's gorge. Like, she's just a little petal. Yeah. And then my granddad, like, he's as sharp as well. So I'm like, they're grand. Do you know? Yeah, you know, when you're like, well, they're grand. They're like not a, they're not a dying 80. They're like a young 80. Yeah.
I think when they can look after themselves and they are
driving,
independent, like, I love seeing that in older people.
I love that. Like, my dad's, it's quite sad. My dad's Uncle Mickey, I just adore him. He's just the best ever, but he's been in my life as much as my granddad has, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of like, we got for dinner with him and everything else like that, but he came over the other night to fix our tiles, he fixed our washing machine, he roofs. Like, my dad said, he lives in Ashburn, and my dad said he drove into his, like, into the drive, and he has, like, kind of like a bit of got a big, like, trees and shit like that at the front, and he was up the tree cutting down with a chainsaw. And Ray was like, no fucking bother to him. Like,
Jesus,
he's 86 maybe. Oh, not a fuck given. And like, drove here depths of the, like, he came over at 9:30 the other night to fix the tiles with Ray, and not a fuck given. And I was like, Ray, I don't like him driving. And Ray was like, oh, here, don't fucking tell me, he knows. He knows. I was like, I just don't feel, because he wears glasses that are as thick as, like,
oh yeah, jam jars.
Yeah,
love it
fully. And he's like, oh yeah. And you're like,
ah, love Uncle Mickey.
But like, cute, like,
yeah.
And then at the same time, but then his wife died from cancer and he's never really been the same.
Yeah.
Like, my dad's dad died obviously when Ray was 40. Granddad was 66. Yeah, 66. And that was from pulmonary
heart disease.
No, it's the one, you know, where your lungs fill up.
Oh, COPD kind of thing?
Tire kind of thing.
Oh, right.
It was because he worked in the mines when he was in America. Oh, he worked in the mines and he got it from that, unfortunately enough. But he, what's it called? Pulmonary. Tom remembers. I can't remember the name of it. But it's basically where he was on oxygen. That's what I can remember.
Yeah.
And if you look at photos, like, at 60, he looked 90.
Ah.
You know?
Yeah.
So kind of, I think my dad was like, we all knew he was gone. But I remember that when I was younger. I remember my mum was obsessed with my grand, like, my dad's dad, because he loved my mum. But I was like, what age was I? I was 9. Because it was 99. It was March 29th, 99. That's the only date I can't remember. I can't remember Siobhan and I can't remember Ethna.
Mm.
But I remember my mum being like, granddad's died, and her and my sister crying, and me being like, oh no. Because you don't understand when you're that age. I was like,
you don't.
Oh. And they were crying and I was like, I'm going to have to try and cry now.
Yeah. I think I was told about my, I can't remember what age I was when my first granddad died, Grandad Harry. And my mum told me and my sister in the sitting room, I remember sitting there and she told us, and Kim started bawling her eyes out. And I was looking at Kim going, oh, I have to cry now.
Yeah, that's literally what triggered me. And I remember my cousins were over the shit. My cousins were over. And I was like, does that mean they have to go?
Fuck's sake. Yeah.
I was like, oh, does that mean, like, they have to leave?
Yeah. Raging. I know, yeah. When you're younger, it's a lot easier to handle as well. And then, like, as well, I don't know. I think your parents would probably nearly rather that for you, though. because like, yeah. they're going oh, through the bereavement of losing a parent.
Like if you, like,
they don't have to be worrying about you as well. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
If you're a baby, you'd probably be like, glad you don't understand. Yeah. You have to let go now, fuck off.
Yeah, like they're like, you know what I mean? Because I was kind of like back in when my granddad Harry died, and I was like, I think I remember looking at my cousin in the church and he had like this mad crying face, and I was actually laughing at him. And then I felt bad later on because I saw how sad everybody was, yeah. And then I felt bad for laughing, but I couldn't stop myself laughing. I was like, I think between the ages of like 7 and 9 or something like that. And then I was just like, oh, I shouldn't be laughing, but like,
yeah. Me and my sister pissed ourselves at my auntie's. I think it's because they're so tense.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, like when I get nervous, I laugh.
Yeah.
I can't remember something set us off, like someone did something, or, you know, it's something as small as like a priest fumbling a word and you're like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? Gosh, hilarious. But that, and I had to do a reading and I remember everybody was like, you were so brave. And I was like, it was a job I had to do for my,
yeah.
Like, I hate funerals. These are so. Like the church up in Castleknock, I'm like, there's my funeral church, because I feel like I was at one consistently yeah. for fucking ages, but I wasn't. It was just because my aunt and my granny went within 10 months of each other.
Yeah,
so it was, and we didn't, Ethna was the shock, Siobhan wasn't the shock. Ethna, we just thought was going to keep going and going. Once my granddad died, she smoked like 40 fags a day, she drank all the time, she didn't give a fuck. She was literally like YOLO. Didn't give a shite. Ethna was Ethna, though. Do you know what I mean? And then she went in with a cough and she died from a heart attack. Wow. But then apparently they, like, is it called an autopsy if it wasn't, like?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is it still called an autopsy? Yeah, well, when they opened her up, she had so many tumours. Oh, she was riddled. Yeah, she was riddled. So they were like, she's actually quite lucky she went from the heart attack and not the 85 tumours that were floating about her body. Like.
Yeah.
But she would never go to the hospital. Ever.
It's strange. I've had, hang on a sec, let me just see now, I have, yeah, so 4 grandparents died, 2 uncles of natural causes, and an aunt and an uncle of suicide, all, like, before I was 30.
Jesus.
Do you know what I mean? And, like, I have to say, the natural causes didn't, and like you said, is it trained into our brains? I don't know. But the natural causes weren't as hard-hitting as suicides, obviously.
But I think with suicides, there's such a mentality there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like for people that haven't suffered from depression and haven't had a mental illness or a battle with a mental illness, it's very difficult to kind of get to that stage where you're like,
they did this to themselves
kind of thing. But obviously that's such a big, you know. That's just from like the outside looking in. And when you haven't suffered with depression or you haven't had a mental health issue or a battle with your own mental health, it's very difficult to like see it.
Oh yeah.
From somebody. Definitely. It's like to really dumb it down. It's like you having a battle about religion or something. Do you know what I mean? You're trying to understand why someone believes or why someone comes from that kind of process, and you're coming from a different process. I think suicide is just such a
It's hard to comprehend. Topic. Like, I've talked about this before because obviously, and I'll say it again, both my aunt and my uncle took their own lives in January and February. So I would be saying to people that, like, mental health and looking out for the person and just asking somebody, are they okay, is important all of the time.
Yeah.
But specifically after Christmas and after New Year's is when I find
it really sets, doesn't it?
It's not that it really sets, it's that's when the mentality comes in, I cannot do another year of this.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see that.
And like from talking about this, because I talked about it on Snapchat before, I haven't really talked about it on Instagram as much, but on Snapchat before, and a lot of people got into contact with me and they all agreed it's that time of year is when it's like, that's when it really needs to be. You need to check in with people. You need to make sure that people are okay, because that's when they're like, I cannot do another year with this. That's it. It's the start of the year. This needs to end now. Because what people, from my understanding of it, and obviously it's a lot more complex, I have never suffered with my mental health. Mm-hmm. So it's rich coming from me. But it just seems to be that people who have suicidal tendencies tend to think that they are a burden on people.
Yeah.
And that it's not so much that they're even thinking about, oh, but they're going to miss me. They're definitely not thinking. That's the opposite of what they're thinking. They're thinking like, okay, these people will be so much better off without me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So like, I would just say specifically that time of year, check in with people. Just because that's just tends to be, well, in my family's case it was. And funnily enough, the two, me aunt and my uncle, did have drinking problems.
Yeah.
But by the time the autopsy came around, not an ounce of alcohol in their systems. It was like they had a moment of clarity.
Oh, God.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They weren't over any sort of limit. They weren't even particularly heavy on the drink that day. Like, do you know what I mean? It was like they just saw clarity. Oh, and they just wanted to be done. And like, obviously, because it's quote unquote before their time, it's so unexpected. They're obviously not going to tell you that they're going to be doing this. That's like, it's so unexpected that when you get that phone call, it's absolutely devastating. Like, and it's just, you always think to yourself, is there something that I could have done? And there absolutely wasn't. Like, there was absolutely nothing you could have done.
I think that's a great, like, when you reach that point where you're like, there's nothing I could have done.
Yeah.
You've processed half of it.
But the thing is, like, and it's funny because I'm saying, make sure you check in with somebody.
Mm.
You could
you could check in with them at the wrong time, sure. I know.
No, like, but it's not even that. Like, it's kind of contradictory. Like, it's so hard to navigate because you're, on one hand, you're saying, check in with somebody, make sure that they're okay, but then you're telling yourself afterwards that there's nothing that you could have done. So it's like, do you know what I mean?
I think
it's hard to navigate.
It is really hard to navigate. And I think if you are somebody who's lost someone to suicide, there's an episode, there's a podcast called How to Fall Apart, and there's an episode dedicated to suicide, and there is a makeup artist, her name's Eilish Downey, and she lost her sister at 22 to suicide. And the way she talks about it is just so, like, it changed my mindset totally. Yeah. She's like, you know, I never say committed suicide because that acts like it's
a crime.
Committed a crime.
Yeah.
And just little things like that. She was like, you know, I always say I lost my sister to depression, or she lost her battle with her mental health and stuff like that. But she kind of goes into the ins and outs of, you know, certain things about, like, you know, if it was planned, if it wasn't, all those other kind of things. Mm. I highly recommend, if you're somebody who even wants a different outlook on suicide, yeah, I'd listen to that episode because it's a really refreshing way of listening to it. And again, I feel like I've talked to loads of people who have lost someone to suicide. You know, my sister lost a friend to suicide as well. And it's very kind of, people have so many different kind of ways of processing it because they can process it.
Yeah.
Or they can, you know, but there is some suicides that are very much, they're totally, as in, not like, it's hard to say preventative, but as in they were spur of the moment kind of things.
Yeah.
And that does happen.
Yeah.
That does happen.
Mm.
And then there's others that there was literally nothing you could have done. But as in spur of the moment ones, not that you could have changed anything, but it was just, as he said, that moment of clarity. It was something that just happened and it went through.
Yeah, now that I think of it, like, maybe it's not contradictory because me uncle was actually on the phone. It's confusing. So the uncle that committed suicide was on the phone to my auntie that committed suicide the night before he took his own life. So, like, that night, and then he did it, like, early that morning. So, like, even though she did check in with him, he still went and did it. So maybe there are just some cases where it's just going to happen. But I suppose, like,
it is tough. Like, my,
because probably, there are probably situations where it's happened before where people have checked in with somebody and it has stopped them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe it's not contradictory and it depends on the person, but it's just like, it's like, what?
Yeah.
How do we bloody stop this? Do you know what I mean?
But when I was younger, I had a friend and he tried to commit suicide. He tried to hang himself and the belt broke. And we pissed ourselves when he told me that story.
What?
We were crying. He was like, yes, the belt broke. So that didn't work. And I remember, I was 14 at the time. And I just remember we were howling. Howling. Because it was just that kind of, you know, where you're just like, this is so morbid. You're like, this is so fucking morbid. We were howling. And I remember just being like, Jesus Christ, that was fairly deep. And he was like, yeah, well, you know. And I mean, we were, but it was so fucking funny. And he was like, well, I'm still here now, haven't I? So,
well, yeah, he got over it, obviously. Yeah.
He obviously got over it. But it, and it is, it's funny because another, my cousin over in the States, he like, you know the way there's like a lad gang and there's always around 20 of them.
Yeah.
You know, they played soccer together or whatever else like that. Four of them committed suicide within a year of each other.
Oh my God.
But it was like, my aunt was up in arms because she was like, is this like a trend? Is this something that's just what happened? And I remember one of the stories, it was really bad. It was like, there was a big house party. One of them, one of the guys who took his own life was across the road. He lived across the road. He went to the party across the in the fucking neighbours.
Mm.
Had a fight with his girlfriend, came over and shot himself.
Oh Jesus.
You know, so it's like, that was spur of the moment. Oh, clearly.
Yeah, yeah, he
took his dad's rifle, shot himself. That was obviously a spur of the moment kind of thing.
Mm. He wasn't thinking about that for months.
He wasn't thinking about that for months. He obviously had mental health issues.
Yeah.
For that to be such an extreme emotion, but especially in teenagers, things are just things are tough. I mean, I think we could do a whole episode on suicide alone.
Oh, we could, yeah. I lost a friend when he was quite young, actually.
Yeah.
He was 16 or 17. And he hung himself off the back of a chair. He was Adam's friend as well. We all kind of hung around with each other, but I'm not too sure if that was it. That was after a session or something like that.
Yeah.
I must ask. And I better not say that. Like, I won't say his name or anything because I'm not actually too sure on it. But from what I remember, I think it was after a sesh or something like that. And that's when he did that. Because, like, we all knew him and he wasn't in any way kind of, like...
You can't put a face on depression.
You can't. Yeah, that's true as well. And it is, but
sometimes some people shock you more than others, I would
say. Yeah.
You're kind of like, what? Mm. And you're shook to the core.
Yeah.
But I think it also, it all lends back to like, I think it's the way that we view it. But then I think the only hope that we can have for anybody is that they pass away in their bed. That's what I always think.
Yeah.
Like when my little Jack Russell passed away, he was curled up in a ball and he had pneumonia and his heart just stopped. But he was still curled up in his little ball.
Yeah.
So...
I know, when you see... Oh, Jesus Christ, sorry.
Oh my God, the cat.
The cat just fucking showed up on the... Sorry, I need to get my bearings. Sorry, we're just going to leave that in to give a bit of a break to all the...
The morbidness.
The deep talk. Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, it does. But like you said, it's what's trained into our brains. We obviously just feel like if somebody dies in their bed... And it's not that considered that tragic.
Yeah.
That it's easier to cope with.
Or see, you know when was it two Irish people that went missing on Everest?
Everest?
There was definitely one this year. Not
the chap, yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, obviously, he passed away.
Yeah.
But is it more acceptable because it's something he wanted to do? Do you know, it's kind of like... is it less sad because it's like, well, he died on Everest and it's something he always wanted to do, or is it more sad because it's like he slipped and that was, you know, he probably I think he was all the way up the summit and he obviously you slip or something. Like, I mean, I don't know fucking anything about Everest. I've never had a want to hike it. But
was he found?
No, I don't think they got the body.
See, that's, like, it depends on the situation.
It's
very
difficult to recover the body, though, from Everest. It's so dangerous.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it depends on a situation like that, like the ins and outs of that specific situation. Because, one, you could be like, oh, well, he did it doing what he loved. Two, you could be like, oh, no, he was way too young. That was just tragic. And three, you're not getting closure from that. Because you've nothing in the coffin. Like, not to be blunt about it, but...
But then, are we putting too much propriety in, like, a body? Because he's dead.
Yeah, but I always think... say,
like, death is horrible for the people you leave behind. It's not horrible for the person who went. They're gone.
No, it's not. I know that, but it's the closure of not knowing what happened, not having the closure of being able to bring him home. I think, like you said, people putting weight in dates.
Mm.
People would put weight in a person's shell as well.
Yeah, and obviously. 100% natural. But then at the same time, you're kind of like, when you go to do Everest, you're training for, it's not like, I'm going to go do Everest. You know, it's like you're training for, you know, years, months, whatever. I've been traveling with a couple and they had done Everest. They'd done base camp. They didn't even do the summit, but they did base camp and one of them jogged it, ran it. He's so fit. It was actually outrageous. And then another one just walked it, like normally hiked it.
Mm.
And it was all the prep that they had, you know, had done to even go to base camp. That's not even Everest. So it's kind of like, but is it nice that maybe he's in the elements? No. Is that just me?
I think that's just you, yeah.
I'd be like, I don't know. Let me know if you agree with me. But I think it's like, you know, if you like, I used to always say it, I don't think I'd mind drowning. I don't know why. I think it's because I love water so much that I was like, I don't think I'd mind if I went drowning. And Tom was like, that's a horrible way to die.
It's an
awful way to die.
Yeah.
But I was like, but I'd be in the water. He was like, okay, you big naturalist, would you relax?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's just you. Because even wasn't there a full GoFundMe just to bring his body home?
Yeah,
there like wasn't. They obviously were. And then people who go missing as well. Like,
oh, missing is terrible though, because you don't know what happened to them. But, yeah, but with him, you know what happened to him.
Yeah, I just personally, if it was somebody who was close to me, I'd still prefer to know like exactly what went wrong. Do you know what I mean? Or at least be able to get the body home.
Yeah,
I just would. It just I would find comfort in being able to bring him home.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, that's just me. I'm very rude. Yeah, I told you already. I have very odd opinions when it comes to death.
We have loads of reactions to this. Some, like, it just kind of, I suppose, different approaches to grief and different ways of dealing with it.
Yeah.
That we have in our DMs. Mm-hmm. So we might as well read a few of those out. We have one here. When I was in secondary school, a girl died very suddenly and it shook her friends. They were inconsolable and it was all on the chaplain and the guidance counsellors to look after them, but some schools don't have them now. There needs to be better supports. It was like them being around each other was triggering fights, etc., over the validity of their grief. I also remember hearing that her best friends to her were quote-unquote shut up, and I can literally never leave things on an argument now because it freaks me out after hearing that. Also, I heard something about pets being a good way to introduce children to death because they can handle it better, because it's something that they'll definitely experience sooner than a person's death because their lifespan is shorter. I never actually thought of that, and like, losing a pet is absolutely devastating. Absolutely devastating. So that actually is a good point if you have kids and kind of treat. Well, there was a DM about humanists. I'd love to know what people tell their kids, because like we said in the religion podcast, I'm not religious.
Mm-hmm.
And up until now, any kids in our lives, when somebody has died, because we've had to deal with that, they'll go like, oh, where are they gone? And our first protocol is up to Holy God. And it usually shuts the conversation down, and that's fine. But obviously, I'm not going to be introducing my kid to the religious side of things. So I need to come up with something to tell my kid. I'd love to know what actual humanists think, or what they do when it comes to kids. Actually, if you could get on to us, maybe.
Actually, I have one here. More on the funeral side of things, I went to my first humanist, non-religious service around 2 years ago, and I have to say that changed everything for me. It was a beautiful service and it wasn't as much of a downer as all the Catholic ones I've been to. Not to sound crass, but they really are almost too solemn. We spent like a minute just clapping for the life they had and the love they gave, and I just thought that was beautiful. As far as the mourning, I think having time to actually celebrate the person was amazing instead of the usual quite impersonal ceremony I'd been used to. Certainly what I want and I would like for when I have the experience for my family. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd be into that.
I'd be into that because I always said, like, I think another reason why I fucking hate funerals is because they're so depressing.
Yeah.
The marching, the coffin in the fucking hearse, the putting, lowering into the ground, the flowers on top of the coffin. Oh, my Lord. I was always like, this is just too fucking much.
But like, as much as I don't believe in the church or anything like that, I have always still gotten comfort from a Catholic funeral. Because
really?
Yeah, no, it's funny because they're basically saying it's okay now. They're like, it still spreads the message now, aside from the whole thing of God sucking them up from planet Earth or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Don't, like, then it's kind of like, oh, come on. They're really, like, that's not happening. Do you know what I mean? Like, their soul is not being risen up to the Lord. But it does, the message behind, I think, any funeral will probably just do the same thing. It just give you that closure and just let you know, look, they're gone, they're at peace. It's kind of, I've always gotten comfort from funerals, as bad as they are.
I hate them. I've never gotten anything from them. I always thought that, and again, I think it gives too much reason for people to be sad.
Right.
I know I'm very hardline when it comes to these things, but I honestly feel like if you take all of that out of it, you're left, you're going to grieve. Do you know what I mean? You're going to grieve no matter what. You're going to feel sad. You're going to have shit days. You're going to have days where you can't think of, like, living anymore without that person.
Mm.
But I feel like funerals are real kind of, they are real solemn, aren't they?
You see,
like, my aunt wanted us to wear glitter, and yeah. I wore a glittery navy dress, and my sister wore, like, a colour or something like that. She was, like, you know, she was real, like, fucking, she wanted to do things differently.
Yeah, my granddad was the same.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's the way different people and different families deal with them. Like, personally, in my family, because we've had so many fucking deaths, what happens is the person dies, we're all in shock for the first day. Second day, it's down to business.
Yeah.
Sandwiches are being made, tea is being made, we're all gathering in the kitchen, we're all doing all the funeral arrangements, everybody's offering to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 2 or 3 days of chaos, everybody's busy, nobody has time to be sad, we're all actually having a bit of a laugh. Because the family's back together.
You do have a laugh.
And you can kind of look back and talk about the person's life and have a bit of a laugh about something stupid that they did. Day the funeral comes, at the church, at the burial or the crematory, it is so fucking sad.
Yeah.
But then after it, you go for
pints.
Pints, soup, bread, whatever, in the pub or whatever little place that you're going to. And then you kind of start getting over it again. That's when the real grief starts.
Oh yeah, it's never the funeral.
We never do it together, like.
I find it gas. You know, in the UK, you know the way they don't bury them immediately? I find that mad.
It's like 12 days or something, isn't it?
Oh no, it can take up to a month.
Oh God.
Yeah. Like, I was talking to one of the guys that I was working with, and he was telling me that his aunt passed away, and it was, there was a 3-week queue.
What?
For the church. He was like,
he was like,
how many fucking people are dying? He was like, I'm talking like, how many, I think it's few. Oh.
Oh,
Pippin.
Oh, Pippin has allergies. Oh, Pippin.
Oh.
No, she has a hairball.
She has a hairball.
Okay.
But he was like, there's enough people dying for it to be booked up 3 times a day, every day for 3 weeks. I was like, that's 60, what is that, like 63?
Jesus.
Yeah, he was like, that's 63 funerals. I was like, that's a lot of people. But yeah, Tom's granddad was like 3 weeks. I think his nan was a month, maybe.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'd love to know, does that work better in terms of getting you on the road to...
Well, he finds it mad because he's like, what do you mean they're dead? Because I think it's like they died. It doesn't matter if they died in a car crash, if they died in whatever. They're dead. They're buried within the week.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. He thinks we're mad.
He thinks it's mad in Ireland. But it's because it was an omen, wasn't it?
What?
It was like, where we're like, oh, Jesus, get them away. Get them, like, get them into the ground. Get them up to the Lord. Like, can't be fucking chilling above soil now.
I think it goes back to a tradition. And again, I said this on... What podcast was it? Oh, did we do something similar to this before? We did. Because remember I was telling you about the dead ringer?
No, but that was on... Was that not conspiracy theories?
Oh, conspiracy or the religious one, I think.
Not similar. religion.
Yeah, religion. Yeah. About the... Basically, Irish people used to do this thing where they had like a 3-day wake. And because yes, somebody
yeah,
could
yeah,
have...
Yeah, yeah, the ringer. Yeah.
So somebody could have basically... drank a lot of pot gin and just been out cold for 3 days. So they'd have a 3-day party, which is called a wake. If they didn't wake up after the 3 days, they put them into the ground, but they still put a bell on top of their coffin or on top of their grave, so that if they woke up in the coffin, they could ring it. That's why it's called a dead ringer. But I think that's where the tradition comes from, the 3-day kind of thing.
Yeah, that is definitely where it comes from.
I think that's what it is. But it's like, I'd love to know whether or not the whole 3-day thing or the 12-day thing or up to a month in the UK, which works better for people's way of dealing with it. Yeah, yeah. I'd actually love to... Was there a study done on that? I'll look up and see.
I don't know. I think grief is so personal. I don't think it would...
Yeah, some probably. People, but yeah. I just wonder, because I'm personally relieved after somebody dies that the whole funeral thing is over.
Mm.
Like, within the week.
I think it's too soon.
Do you?
Yeah.
No, I'd be personally relieved, and I think anyone in my family would be the same, because obviously we all go through it together. But it's just like, right, that's done now. Now we can start
especially
really coping with it.
Like, if you had like a sibling or a young child or something that died in like a car crash,
yeah,
you're in such fucking shock and you're like, hold on, I'm just going to call the...
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think it's fair.
That is true, because you would be on autopilot as well, and I've seen people who have lost people close to them and they're just literally... staring into space for the whole 3 days.
Yeah.
Whereas like, if they had a bit more time to kind of soak it in,
yeah,
and then do the whole funeral thing, that's why I'm wondering, would that work better?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It is. It's such a... I think death's just mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like,
death is just crazy. I'm like, death's crazy. Yeah, it's fucking wild. I just... Shut up, Garda. So, I lost my mum last year. While she had been sick, it was still sudden and unrelated to her illness. It never gets better, ever. You learn to cope, you get a new normal, but it hits you like a ton of bricks at the most random times. Everyone says time heals, it doesn't. Time just moves on, and the new normal where you can't text or say hi or moan becomes that new normal.
Mm. Yeah, it's
that's, I mean...
I think there is a lot to be said for somebody who passes away that you actually don't see every day and they're not that close to, and then obviously losing somebody that, like a partner or child or a parent, I cannot imagine what that feels like.
I actually hate thinking about it. Like, whenever I think about Raybo, and I just...
petrifies me.
Yeah, I shut down. I'm like, I actually can't, but...
Yeah, I know. I'd be the same.
So I have one here. I don't think about death a lot per se, but I do think a lot about if it's my last time doing or seeing someone, would I be happy about the way things... Why can't I read today? About the way we left things really plays a lot on my mind, but I feel it's beneficial because I say what I'm feeling now a lot more than I did, and I'm being completely honest with people.
Oh, that's...
That's a nice way of thinking of things. That's actually quite a nice way of thinking of things.
It is.
But sometimes I do that as well. I'm like, imagine that was... Like, I always have to say love you to Tom on the phone and my dad and my mum.
Yeah, yeah.
And my sister.
Yeah.
I could not, like... It's almost shook. Like, I'm shook.
No, I fucking... Well, I fucking hate conflict anyway. But I do always try my best. Well, just to be a good person in general and not be, like, a bitchy person. But I would never... I don't think... It's been ages since I left... anything on an argument or on bad terms.
Yeah.
And now I wouldn't necessarily be thinking, what if I died? And yeah, what if they died? At the back of my mind, I think that would nearly cripple you, but I think it still is a nice thing to bear in mind, I suppose. I have one here. When I think of death, I automatically think of one person. Do we all do that? Do we all associate death with one person we lost who took a piece of us with them? What do people... who have never experienced death to think of. This is genuinely something I've wondered since I was 13 years old. Up until that point, I'd experienced death and felt sad, but ultimately it didn't affect me in the long run. We buried aunties and neighbours, etc. But in 2001, when I was 14, my dad died, and for the first time, death meant something completely different. It was gut-wrenching and confusing and life-shaping. I grieved, or at least thought I did, but everyone I knew told me, "You're quote-unquote, you're so strong. You're a happy inspiration to say so. Oh, you're an inspiration to stay so happy, blah, blah, blah." In reality, I was dead inside and putting those drama classes my mum spent a fortune on to good use. 16 years later, just before my wedding, was when it hit me that I couldn't pretend anymore. I had a breakdown and grieved so hard. I started counselling, and that helped. That helped me understand that I didn't have to hold it all together. I celebrate my dad now instead of ignoring all talk or memory of him. Death is inevitable, and I don't actually fear it anymore because I know I'll see him again. If you've gotten this far, thanks for reading. I think I waffled, but yeah, death is poxy. But it happens to us all, unfortunately, so we got to live for right now and share all of the love. Kiss, kiss. Thanks for that message. That was nice. I like that she recognised that she kind of had to change her mindset.
You do.
Yeah.
I think that's the most mature
thing. Even 16 years down the line, like...
You have to, and that's... just getting back to funerals, like, I always say, I don't want my funeral to be a sad thing. I want it to be a gas thing.
Yeah.
Like, have a laugh. Talk about all the stupid shit that I did. Talk about your funniest moments. Talk about... Don't even have to talk about me. You can talk about each other. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, just have a laugh.
Yeah.
Because it's life's too sad.
It is. And I think it goes back to what I said earlier about my granddad, and I knew that he was petrified of dying. But I almost think if you know that somebody wasn't that scared of dying, or if they told you what they wanted after they left, even if it is before their time, I think that nearly makes it better for the people who are left behind. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I was to die, you would know, like... Oh, she wanted a humanist ceremony.
Yeah.
She wanted people to have a glass cracker at her funeral. Do you know what I mean? That was Jen. That was kind of, you know, to have that kind of attitude going into it. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if, like, you never spoke about it or anything and you didn't know what to do after somebody died, it'd be more like, oh God, this is so before our time. Jesus, we weren't prepared for this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not going to start writing out my will. Like, I probably will have to because I'm having a kid.
Once you get a gaff, and once you have a gaff for a kid, exactly. You have to actually, unfortunately, do a will, which is fucking terrifying. But,
like, I don't know. I suppose it's hard to do at this age. It would be, if you weren't as scared and understood it a bit more, probably would be easier to let people go, like, you know?
Defo. I have one here, and it starts with a little quote that she sent us. It says, "Even when two people lose the same person, they lose different versions of them. As much as you love someone, as much as you grieve with them, you grieve alone."
Yeah.
That is so true.
So true.
Never thought of that. She said, "I've lost a few people close to me. Probably the biggest loss is my best friend when I was 19. We lived together, worked together, partied together, etc. When Jess died, her mother decided to blame me, or at least push me out of her life as it was, down to contacting me for her Bebo password so she could remove me as her other half. Probably just needed an outlet for her own grief. Can't lie, it completely fucked me up for years. Jess died after a battle with meningitis, so I obviously didn't play a part. When it wasn't so raw, I started volunteering at a meningitis charity and turned my completely shite experience into some kind of positive, and through the people in the charity, I finally felt like I was allowed to grieve. I still struggle with feelings that I was somehow not her friend, or that my memories and our friendship wasn't as important as that of her and my other friends because I suffered as a result of somebody else's grief. She died 10 years ago today. And it's really only now that I can accept that we were friends. I'm not some horrible bitch that should have been better. I was young. I understand to a degree. But grief, especially after death, is so powerful. It mapped my entire life. Probably for a better, but it wasn't an easy road. Can happily say that the charity hired me, and now I play a part in meningitis awareness and support all over the country. If you don't grab grief by the balls, it can ruin you. I've been on both sides of the coin."
That's really inspirational.
And very mature.
Very mature.
And I do think, like, I like the way that you can assess that her mother's outlet for grief
was just attacking you.
Was just you.
Yeah.
And that's really unfortunate, but...
It was good that you could recognise that.
You didn't actually think. And it can be tough, can't it?
Mm.
And there can be, you know... I've seen before people passing away quite young. Whether I've gone to school with them or it's been like one of my sister's friends or something, and there is a sense of competition sometimes around people as who was the friend.
Oh, do
is
not.
That just me?
I've seen that. I've seen that? It. I've seen that.
It's fucking weird.
I've seen that. No, you will get that one person who wasn't that close to, and it's specifically in young people. It's not even at older people. It's usually what I usually see it in, because I've lost a few friends to suicide, but it's usually you'll see somebody putting up on the anniversary of the person's death, a person who wasn't even that close to them putting up that the same picture every year, because that's the only picture that they ever, you weren't that close to them, but you're making it out as if.
It's so fucking weird.
It is weird. Please stop trying to get attention off other people's deaths. Like,
of other people's.
It's so grief. Morbid.
It's so morbid. And it's also like bottom of the barrel kind of shit. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, it really is.
But like, I've seen it. I just remember I saw it in two different versions. And I was just baffled. And I remember just being like, is this happening? And I remember at my young age, I was even like, is this fucking happening? You know?
Mm.
Like setting up a Facebook group and. Mm. I'd be like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah. And like, unpopular opinion, you might be one of these people going, oh, I do that. Yeah, we weren't that close, but I still love them very much. And I just want to show that I'm the family that I'm supporting them. But it's like, they probably prefer that you didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think my, like, if I passed away, I don't think Ray would get, you know,
yeah,
any kind of closure from somebody who I was friendly with starting up a Facebook group.
Yeah.
I don't see that for him.
No, absolutely not.
We don't love to see it.
No. I have another one here. My only fear about dying is probably the same as most people. I am so, so, so scared of dying alone. It freaks me out. I don't think about it all the time, but when I'm hanging after a sesh, I think about death and how scary it would be to die alone. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I think the sesh bit dramatic.
Yeah.
I think we all think we're going to die after a sesh. Understand you. But
we do get sesh depressed.
We do get sesh depressed.
Yeah,
but
we do get
sesh depressed. Hang in there after the sesh. But I do get, like, the whole dying alone thing would be. Well, I don't know.
See, how I don't think I'd mind if I died alone.
What's that?
I'm dying. I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
But say if it was, like, a long death. Say if you got, for instance, stabbed. And you're.
Oh,
lying
you crawled
in an alley.
Into a little hole and you died alone in the alley.
Yeah.
That would be tough.
You were
yeah.
dying
sorry, let me
for
change
about
my,
2 hours.
Change my opinion there.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were dying for 2, oh, that would be rough.
Yeah. And you'd know.
If you were left somewhere and you were just kind of like, I hope someone finds me.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, you've passed out and your body's just, oh no, that's, I'm very, I take back what I said. I think I meant more like, if I woke up dead.
Yeah.
Did you get me?
Yeah, but
you can't wake up dead, but
then
you know
you can't.
What I mean.
Yeah,
can't wake up dead, but you feel my flow.
I feel your flow.
Yeah, I have one here. Hey, on the topic of death, I'm a nurse and doing my training and experience. As you can imagine, I've seen an awful lot. It's taken a huge toll on me. I actually suffer from death anxiety, not of my own death, but of family members or friends passing away. I went to hypnotherapy. I found it amazing, as it made me realise that it was an irrational fear, and yes, that will. And can happen, but try not to see every patient as a family member. I'd encourage anybody to try it, as it's very help, as it's really helped me out. Love the podcast. That's a good idea. I never thought of hypnotherapy.
Yeah. Wasn't there somebody asked actually if you could get in touch about a good grievance counselor? Mm-hmm. Somebody did ask us if we could put it out there. She just hasn't found one that hasn't costed her a bomb.
A bomb, yeah.
And she just needs a good grievance counsellor.
She lost her mother.
Yeah.
Like, she went to school with her, but she lost her mum. She's having, I think she'd love an outlet. So if anybody has any good, I'll put that up on the story.
Yeah, yeah.
Pop that up on the story, and if we get any supports in, I will.
Share them all. Yes.
Yes.
I have one here. Great topic. I have one very tragic experience of death in brackets and multiple very normal if sad experiences. I help facilitate bereavement support groups and do peer counselling for a specific type of loss. There's so much to talk about with death, but where grief and bereavement are concerned, the most important thing is kindness. Be kind to yourself. Don't expect too much and don't fake being okay. All the people I support are women, and every single one of them worries more about other people than themselves. Also, grief is so complicated. It's not just about sadness. There's anger and exhaustion mm-hmm. and anxiety too. It doesn't always look or feel how we expect it to. And sometimes we can't recognise our feelings as being grief. We just think we're being a complete bitch or a weirdo. After my loss, I was too anxious to drive or go to crowded places for months. It was a bizarre manifestation of grief, but not totally uncommon either. So be kind to yourself and to your mates after a loss. When we said that earlier on, it's about recognising that that's what it is.
Well, there's the five stages of grief, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
So it's denial and isolation, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance.
Yeah.
So the first one is denial and isolation. So obviously cutting yourself off from your friends, being in denial that it actually happened.
Yeah.
Then I think the second is anger. I think that's the one that I feel I would take on the most.
Yeah, I'd be the same because, like, that it's just so fucking unfair as well, isn't it? Like, you do feel like that and you feel like it's a personal thing as well. It's a weird kind of feeling. It's a weird anger.
And then bargaining, I think, is the saddest of the five.
Well, explain that to me now. What do you mean by bargaining?
So if only... I wish if I like if I would have done this if like it's almost like
you would have changed your ways.
Take me,
yeah.
Don't take them, kind of thing. You're almost talking to yourself in it. As much as I understand the bargaining part is kind of like, if only they had done, if only they'd been married, if only there was this, that, and the other, if only like I could, you know, take their place or you know that kind of. I think that's. To me anyway, from what I've seen.
Trying to change the past.
Yeah, basically trying to like bargain for them back in some kind of way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, that whole thing. And then depression, obviously. And then acceptance.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
But that whole process could take up to 10 years.
Oh, it could take up to your whole life. It doesn't... You could be in one stage for 2 weeks. You could be in another stage for 3 years.
And it could keep switching from...
From different
depression
ones.
Back to anger.
And there's a girl who wrote into us saying, never really thought about death. I'd lost aunties and uncles, but was never affected like this until April last year when my dad died suddenly. My whole world turned upside down and everything changed, like I changed. Everyone around me stayed the same, but it was all different. It's horrible. It's like a physical pain, not just mental. I still think a year on, did that all really happen? I haven't went to counselling yet. I'm half afraid, if I'm going to be honest. I find it hard to talk about it, but I will go eventually. Afraid of what's going to come out of my mouth and opening up all them feelings again. But anyone that goes always finds it good. Do you think most counsellors or grievance are there? Certain ones that do. Death is just mad. One day you're here, the next you're gone. Changes your outlook on life, but I 100% believe in the afterlife. Keeps me going thinking he's with me. He feckin' better be.
Yeah, but well, that's a whole other topic as well, but it does bring comfort to people, doesn't it? The whole going to a medium, looking out for little signs and putting it down to being the spirit of the person that they lost. And you do you with your grief and you know, with your comforts, basically after it.
Well, she said there, do you think most counsellors do grievance or are there certain ones that do? So, like, is there certain grievance counsellors? Is it just a counsellor for everyone?
No, there are bereavement counsellors specifically.
Yeah, there is. What's it called?
I'm sure they all know how to tell you how to deal with your grief, but there are some that would specialise in it, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I have one here. I lost my uncle very suddenly last December. He was 59, never a sick day in his life, and a workaholic. He died of vasculitis. Basically, his immune system started attacking his healthy organs. 1 week in hospital and then dead. He died almost 2 years to the day my granny passed away. He was buried on her anniversary. As much as I love and miss my granny, his death absolutely destroyed my family, and I think it's the first time I've ever truly experienced grief. Even now, I still cry. I find it really difficult that everybody expects your grieving to finish almost immediately after the funeral. That's what I was saying earlier, and that's when my grief starts, really. After the funeral, that's when you begin to cope. I would be really interested in going to therapy or counselling, but I genuinely feel like an idiot even asking about it, because I know I'm okay. I just want to talk about him a bit more, and I understand why I still feel this sad about him. I really think grief is something that should be spoken about more openly, because I don't think it's something that ever goes away when you lose someone that you love. Don't ever feel like you're an idiot for wanting to go to somebody and speak about your uncle. If that's how you're feeling, you go and speak to somebody. Don't ever feel like that. No, definitely not. And like that, we will find out what people have, what counselors
what people recommend.
Have to,
yeah, I mean,
put it up.
If you go into citizens' information, they have the kind of basics. But a lot of the times, if you're starting off with a counselor, I've said this before, it can take, you know, 5-6 goes to find the right counselor, yeah, for you. So if you go to one and you don't feel like it was a match, it probably wasn't a match.
No, yeah, exactly.
So you can find a lot of stuff out on citizens' information. But then there's also, you know, for kids, there's Bernardo's. They do grief counselling for children, which can be instrumental, I suppose, to, you know, how they're going
to
view it.
And to understanding it as well.
Understand it,
yeah,
a little bit as well. Or understand where you're coming from too.
Mm.
There's Access Counselling. They're in Dublin 12. They specialise in bereavement and loss.
Right.
So they're another one. There's hospice counselling. Like, there is actually, there's a lot out there.
Yeah.
But you do have to take the leap of faith. Now, they say 2 years is the mark when you should go. But I think that's bullshit.
No, go when you're feeling
go
like
when you feel like
go.
You want to go. Yeah. If you want to go 10 years later, if you want to go 2 days later, you go.
Yeah, definitely.
But they say 2 years is kind of like the process where you'll get the most out of it, but I don't.
It's probably when they think you're the most settled.
Yeah.
After.
Definitely.
Oh, I haven't heard about UK funerals.
Okay.
I recently lost my nanny who lives in the UK. So interesting to see how funerals, etc. work in other countries. I feel like we rush the process here, which is exactly what you said. If you die on a Monday, you'll be buried by the Wednesday and your family are back to work by the Friday. In the UK, it's way too long, 16 days from death to funeral for my nanny. But the funeral was so nice and personal, it changed my views on how I'd like to go, to be honest. Over there, everyone has the same bog standard culty Catholic prayer mumbling and nobody and no one knowing whether to sit or stand because you haven't been to mass since the last funeral you were at. Yeah. Well, that's
true.
I think that's all
so true. Or the wedding.
Yeah. I think, like, obviously I'm taking the piss here, just trying to lighten the mood, but it's almost like a holiday, isn't it? Like, 3 days is too short, 16 days is too long.
Yeah.
Maybe 11 days.
Maybe 11.
Maybe 10.
10 days.
You know, like, it's probably the perfect.
10 nights, 11
yeah,
days.
10. Yeah. Maybe
but take 2 weeks off work.
Yeah.
Take the 14
days
off.
That's the thing. It's like, it's so hard, and obviously different places of work will differ, and the person who you have lost is gonna decide when you go back to work as well. But it is hard knowing that somebody could die on a Monday, you'll be done back in work by Friday.
That's what I'm saying. That's fucked. Like,
it is mad.
I do think it's a lot.
Yeah.
Just more about the grief counselling, lads. There's so much out there. I will put it up on the Instagram just if people have recommendations, because there's Onkyo, there's literally millions.
Yeah.
Well, not millions, thousands. Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Hundreds. But I think it's so personal. I don't want to be like, I recommend this. Or, I think this is good. Like, my dad went to a group. And it's a big group.
Yeah.
I think it's called Beginning Experience. And it's a grief book, grief for like divorce, grief for if you've actually lost someone, grief, loads of different grief groups. I had a client who lost her husband to suicide. She met her new partner in a grief.
Wow.
Deal. He had lost his brother to suicide. And then while they were at the grief counselling, a few weeks later, he found his wife was having an affair. So he kind of got a double whammy. But
yeah, well,
these things help.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, so if you are somebody who thinks you'll, like, my dad's always been like, you and your sister should go. And I'm like, no, I don't want to fucking go to a group. I'm not a group person.
Yeah, I do know group people.
Yeah.
My aunt is one of them. And I don't know whether she was going to groups before my uncle passed away, because she's always had depression and that.
Yeah.
And my aunt took her own life. She used to go to groups before.
Yeah.
She passed. And now this aunt still goes. She goes to a group every Tuesday. Now, I'm not too sure if it's a bereavement group after she lost her husband, or she was going to it anyway, but she never misses a group.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Yeah.
As she finds them so helpful.
Oh, Ray adores his group.
Yeah.
Like, and he's been going to it for, I'm going to say, 5 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he gives talks and everything.
Yeah.
So I feel like, and it's funny because my it was recommended to me through my best friend's mum.
Yeah.
She hadn't gone, but one of her best friends went, and she was like, just say that to your dad, like, he might find it. And isn't it gas now 5 years later?
That's, yeah, and it's made such
a... It was just off a quick recommendation, and it worked for him, you know?
Yeah, it made such a detrimental... Yeah. But even I find that, like, even TED Talks, any sort of talk, you always feel great after coming out of something like that. Yeah. It's always, you always feel great after something like that. It's like, it makes such a difference. It really does.
Yeah, it does, definitely.
I have another one here. Death podcast. A different topic for a podcast. Interested to hear it. Funeral processions in different parts of the country. Where my husband is from, they are usually waked at home. It feels a lot less formal and less sad in my experience. It feels more personal. You can chat to the family a bit more than just passing on your condolences. Also, day I say, typical Irish, it's a good way to catch up with people when you haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
When a friend of mine died, she was waked at home, not coming around where this girl is from. And we cried with laughter that night instead of grief. We recounted stories of the good times and sharing old photos of her. I've done both.
I like that.
I like the home ones. Yeah, I've done both. My granddad, the one that passed away last June, he was reposed at home. And like that, we were all in the kitchen just looking at photos and kind of recalling. Actually, that was the day that he died. He was still up in the bed. We were waiting on the doctor.
Oh, God.
It was, yeah. But like that, it was, he had cancer. It was old age.
Mm.
We were expecting this. Mm-hmm. And my dad stayed up there with him until the doctor on call came. But like that, everybody was in the house. We were all just talking about the old times, looking through photos. And he went off to the funeral home, got embalmed and that, and then he was back to the house.
Oh, embalming gives me fucking shivers. I have one here from somebody about grieving when they're still alive.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it says, hey guys, I just wanted to write in because I don't think I'm on my own with this one. I haven't spoken to my dad for nearly 5 years. Himself and my mom separated because I found my dad's Plenty of Fish profile on the laptop by accident.
Oh no.
I confronted him first because me and him were so close. He completely denied, even though there was a clear evidence that they had met up, etc. I had the screen grabs. It was Christmas week, so he asked me not to say anything until after Stephen's Day, so I didn't. He then tried to make me not say anything because of how good he was to me over the years, etc. And I lost it. I told my mum, and now they're separated. He wasn't just my dad. He was my best friend, the person I talked to about everything. I came out to him first and everything. So about 6 months after this, I got into a really shit place in my head and I started counselling. And my counsellor suggested I try to reconnect or to grieve him as if he was dead. So I chose to grieve him. Over 4 years later, and he is dead to me. I have siblings who see him and talk about him. It's so hard to grieve the loss of someone who isn't dead, but it can be done. And it gives such closure. Sorry, these messages are long-winded if you condense it down. My top tips for grieving somebody who isn't dead would be to talk to a third party, ask yourself is it realistic, and listen to your gut.
Wow.
Very interesting. I personally don't know anybody who's grieved somebody who is alive.
I know one. she's actually on... Instagram, her username is Sarzy Bell, but her mum has dementia.
Oh, God.
So she started to grieve her when she first went into the nursing home.
Oh, God.
And that's it. She said it's basically not her mum anymore, so she's been grieving her mum for, like, I think it's been about 2 years.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I just... Oh.
Yeah.
Tom's granddad went to dementia as well, and it's a horrific...
Mm.
It's
horrible.
That's actually something that I have a massive fear over.
Yeah.
Because I've seen one of my, you know, my parents' friends that they, like, I grew up with kind of their kids and stuff like that.
Mm.
One of their dads has very bad dementia. And it's like, oh, I just don't know how.
They just change into different people. And obviously, I don't know that, like, I don't know the ins and outs, and everybody's experiences are different and every person is different. My friends, Nana had it as well. But you do, you kind of just have to come to terms with that's not them anymore. And I think it makes it easier to deal with. And that's if you start grieving them as if they were dead, obviously still be there for them and still help them. And, like, you know what I mean?
Or grieve what the relationship you had, maybe.
Grieve what they used to be. And it's even the same with a breakup. Like, if you're with somebody that just fucking torns and changes. You nearly need to grieve the relationship you had.
True. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because that's, I think,
that's because it's never going back.
You
there.
Need to start dealing with it. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I have another one here. I'm a nurse, loads of experience of death. If you have any question from that side of things, she just wrote back to us there. Nurse here, very dark sense of humour surrounding death because of our coping method, I guess. It's hard to deal with, but, and this is a bit of a strange thing to say, I guess, but it's actually a nice thing to be involved with somebody who's dying and their care, especially when it's somebody you've cared for previously. Looked after a man before whose death was sort of prolonged and drawn out. The family were making his memory book thing as a memento, of which at the time I thought was weird. But I minded the man for 6 nights in a row and he died on my 7th night. I got so close to the family and we had great crack. My name is in their memory book and they were so thankful, and it's nice that I'm part of their happy memories of such a hard time.
That is nice.
Oh, that is nice, yeah.
This one's a bit of a roller coaster. Hey girls, I have first hand experience with death. If you're reading this, can I remain anon? Everybody's anon, just to let you know, unless you specify that you don't want to be anon. But when I was 8, just after my Holy Communion, my nanny died. 2 years later, my little cousin, age 4, suddenly passed away in his sleep. Oh. My uncle then had a serious accident a few months later. He thankfully lived. Another uncle died. And then my granddad on my dad's side. Then my mom's side, one aunt who I was extremely close to passed away 4 years ago. My cousin's baby died. My granddad then passed 6 weeks later. Another aunt died. This all happened in the past 17 years.
Oh my God.
Jesus. To be honest, I suffer with depression and my doctor reckons it's because I haven't grieved. I went to a counsellor and it wasn't for me. I find keeping my mind busy and I pray a lot and I believe that they can hear me. That gives me a little bit of comfort. I work in retail and I've been told, you're always happy. It goes to show nobody knows what goes on inside closed doors. Love the podcast. Wow.
That is so much.
But I think that's another thing, you know, you can really put on like a front.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're in work, it's the same, like, the only way I can compare it is if you've ever had like boy problems.
Yeah.
And you go into work and you can actually put it away for those 8 hours.
Yeah.
I always felt like, well, me personally, you're like, can put it into a little box and then when you come home, forget you're like, about oh, it. God.
Oh, yeah, and then it's.
And that's why people throw themselves into their work sometimes when they're going through grief. I will just say on the verge of counselling, maybe that counselling wasn't for you.
Mm.
Maybe there is a counselling out there that is for you.
Yeah.
Or maybe just having those conversations with your friends every month. Sometimes that can be as good.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like sitting down, having a good session.
Yeah.
I find that always helps me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have the last one here in the normal DMs. I lost my dad nearly 5 years ago and it was the most painful and difficult thing I've ever experienced. I went through 6 months of deep depression and anxiety and was very angry at myself and the people around me. I just couldn't believe that life was still going on around me and I was just stuck. I had an addiction to my antidepressants and struggled with that. Wrecked my mum's house with the side effects of the withdrawals. Thankfully, I'm okay now and I've gotten my life back together. Never had any counselling and I really wish I had. That sounds like she was going through the stages. And as well, it's a good point that, I've experienced it myself. It's like when somebody dies, you're kind of looking around you going, how are you all still functioning? Like, how is the world still spinning? And when your world itself has stopped.
Yeah.
It's like, I think everybody kind of gets that feeling. It's like the absolute cheekiest to be going around living your fucking life.
Yeah.
Yeah, like even when you find out somebody's after dying, you see like Dublin bus driving down the road. It's like, look at all those people.
Neck.
Just going into town on the 39. Like, look at them.
Like, neck them.
Yeah. Like, they are the things that go through your head when you're after losing somebody. It's like everyday things are just automatically offensive.
Or you're like, look at them all. Living their best lives.
Yeah, not a fucking clue what's going on in mine.
Don't even know what happened to me. And
yeah, no, that's it. That's the thing. And that's what makes you feel so alone as well, I think. Do you know?
I have one here. This is, I think it is interesting because we talk a lot about losing family members, but it can almost be sometimes hit you harder if it's a friend.
Because
it's somebody that you kind of, you took on, you know?
Yeah, you picked them.
Yeah, you picked them. That was your person.
Yeah.
So, hey girls, love the podcast. Been meaning to message you loads of times. I lost two of my friends recently. Both had cancer. They're my childhood friends since we were in primary school. Both passed within 6 months of each other.
Oh,
and my world.
God.
Jeez. And my world has been completely turned upside down. Both were in their early 30s. I've dealt with grief before. I've lost my dad, grandparents, etc. But this is unbelievable. A different type of grief that has consumed the whole person I used to be. You never imagine your best friends can die. I've never known what it's like to have no best friends. The people that you turn to for everything, that know you inside and out better than anyone, and suddenly they're just gone. It's something that I can't explain in words. Anyway, I feel like there's not enough support for people dealing with grief. I attended a counsellor who sat there nodding and sympathising with me. That was useless. I didn't need sympathy. I need help to deal with the emotion I had never felt. Grief is such a big thing. I've really struggled this last year, and the only thing that's kept my head above water is my daughter. There needs to be more support for people that are grieving. I went to that counsellor 3 times, never went back, and found there was nothing else for me to do. Anyway, I want to say thanks to you girls. You remind me of my 2 best friends and the shy talk and the laughs that we used to have. I love listening to you. It brings me back to the mild conversations with my girls.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
A little bit of mosh.
Yeah.
A bit of mosh now.
That is, yeah. I know there's a tear coming out.
Yeah, yeah. We're welling up here.
Aww.
That is mosh. I've said it loads of times, but maybe that counselling.
Yeah.
And that person and that counsellor, maybe a group.
Yeah, I was going to say a group.
The group kind of sounds maybe, because from what I've heard from other people, group can be laugh. Like, it can be a fucking laugh where you can say, you go and you'll give a story where you're like, I remember when we were 4 and they lost their shoe and we blamed it on our little brother. You know?
Yeah.
You can kind of have a bit of a gas.
Mm.
Sometimes, you know, it's just like, the way I can explain it, it's just like a vet. Some vets are better with dogs, some better are horses, some are better with cows. You know, it's the way that it's done. There is grief counsellors who are just very good with grief.
Yeah.
Maybe because of life experience. Maybe because of something they've been through.
There are people who become something because they've gone through something.
Yeah.
Like drug addiction counsellors that have been through it themselves. Like, where, as that girl said, there is a few that will sit there and just nod and take your money. And just listen to you.
I don't think it's about that. You know, I think it's, I wouldn't say nod and take your money. I'd say just some of them are like, some just, you know what it's like. You just can't process. I mean, I always say, especially when I do makeup on clients, like, that's like a little mini, you end up sharing things that you just don't even share with your.
Do you know what does be funny? I get, it's funny that people will, like, share secrets with you.
Yeah.
Like, I've, the amount of women who have told me that they're pregnant and nobody else in their life knows because I'm pregnant. Do you know, on Instagram?
But, and you're thanks for
letting me know. Delight for you. Like, you know, best of luck with your pregnancy. But, like, obviously I'm never going to tell. I don't know these people. I'm never going to tell anybody.
Yeah.
But, like, it is mad how people can reach out and talk to a stranger about personal things.
And sometimes they notice. I remember that's how I became quite close with Laura from Laura's Views. Because we were having a conversation and she just tweaked something about me. And I ended up just like, and I'm not an open person. I remember just like opening up a little bit and we had a great chat. And she was like, well, thank you for that. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
And those things can happen.
Yeah, they can.
And it's funny because even like, again, the client that I had mentioned previous who had lost her her husband to suicide. Mm. She is now studying to be a therapist.
Right.
And I found that, and she was like, and that's, I can't wait. She's like, I just can't wait. She's like, I can't wait to be able to, you know, get them through what I thought I'd never get through.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's really, like, that. There are people who become it because they've been through it.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, again, sometimes, I think group, there's not enough said about group.
No, there's not.
It can be real, because you always see it in movies, don't you? And it's like sitting in a circle.
Mm.
Like, even that Avengers, you know, it was like, what to do when they disappeared?
Yeah.
And it's always quite a solemn thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can just go and listen.
You don't have to speak.
You can go and listen for 6 weeks and then one day you might go, do you know what? I'm going to tell my story. You know what I mean? Like, not that anybody expects you to, but you can just go and listen. And
everyone's lovely.
Yeah.
Everyone's very friendly.
And everyone's in the same position.
Yeah. They're not there for the crack.
No. Like, they're there.
Or maybe they are for the crack.
Yeah, but usually they're there because they're in the same boat that you are and you can relate on some sort of level, and sometimes it's easier to get along with strangers.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Where you're like, nobody knows anything about me, I'm just going to wander in here and be like, how are you?
Even though you're showing your face, you're still anonymous kind of thing. Absolutely.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Absolutely. I think, should we leave it there?
I think we should. I mean, if you wrote into us, thanks so much for sharing your story. A lot of the times when we're reading the messages, I'm double tapping them just to let you know that we've seen it.
We've seen it, yeah, and it's...
Because just we simply can't reply to everybody as much as I'd love, because it seems a bit impersonal. If I'm not giving you my whole, like...
Yeah.
You know, between myself and Jen, we run our own social medias. We run the Unpopulars one as well. And we have so much interaction from you guys, which makes it what it is. But don't think that we don't see you, we see you.
Yeah.
And we'd love to read everything out, but we'd be here...
Yeah, for exactly.
Days. Yeah. But thank you so much for contributing, and if you have contributed before, please continue to contribute.
Yeah
I would say as well.
I do appreciate it, and even like, don't be apologizing for sending us paragraphs, like that's,
oh, we love that.
It's the amount of effort that you've put into giving us your life experiences and your opinions that makes it what it is, so thank you very much for that. Thanks, we appreciate it. Next week's topic, we're going to lighten up the mood a little bit because this was quite heavy.
It was.
Trends that we want to come back.
Yeah.
Past trends. Stuff that we used to do. It's kind of a little bit of a throwback one.
I mean, but our first throwback one, people were like, eh.
Yeah. We actually did two of those.
Yeah, we did two.
There was so much.
But this one is more focused on what we'd like to see.
Like what we'd like to see come back. A lot of stuff, I think, has come back, though.
Yeah.
You know,
like, but has come back in the right way.
Has it come back in the right way? Has tearaway trousers come back in the way they should have?
Has neon.
Neon, yeah.
Has neon come back in the way that you feel appropriate?
Yeah, exactly. Or have they switched it up in the right way?
Well, what is that about?
Think about a trend that you used to do years ago, and if you would like to see that back, we stan you. Please get in touch on the WhatsApp 085 725-227 or DM us on the Insta at the Unpopular Opinion 2019.
Let us know
and we will talk to you next week. Bye.
When we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.